Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah, man. Oh, is God awesome or what? Yes. He's amazing. You guys have been just worshiping the Lord amazing, and so proud of you and love you. So grateful to be with you. If you leave here today and you don't know that God loves you and He's here, then please come and see me and I'll pray for you. He loves you. The presence of God is tangibly real, and He is real, and He wants you to know Him. Those of you that are in the house, those of you that are online, every single one of us, this amazing God loves us, and He is desiring to touch us, speak to us, change us, move in us, do only God things that only God can do. And I'm going to share some things with you today that some of it you've heard before, probably all of it you've heard before, because there's nothing new under the sun. This amazing God has something to say to us, and I want to challenge you that if I start saying something you've already heard, you don't tune me out. Because I know, look, I grew up in the church. I told them in the other service, like, I'm a pastor's kid, so I grew up in church. I went to church my whole life. Even when I wasn't serving Jesus, I was in church. And we were a lot more holy than you guys because we had 3 services a week. That is a joke, okay, just so you can relax. But I was there. Actually, we had Sunday school, then church, then young people when I was a teenager, then church in the evening, then we had prayer meeting church on Wednesday. And then when there was revival, it would start on the Friday. It would go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I was in church. But I know this. There was many, many, many times that I was physically there, but nowhere near what was happening. I was gone, man. I knew that if I stayed there, I'd have to look at some things. So if I stayed present in my body, in the place, then I would have to answer questions in myself. And so I would check out. I have an amazing imagination. I do. God's good, man. I have saved the world. I have won Super Bowls. I have won all kinds of stuff. I have accomplished great things all up here. And I was out saving the world or doing these amazing things in the world while God was calling me. And I was ignoring Him. So I know what you're doing. So don't wander. Listen. Because the message that God has for us today is life transforming. Incredibly. God is amazing. And it is not because it is me who stands before you. It is because of who He is and what He does and the power that is in who He is and what He wants to say. But I declare to you today that I have a prophetic message from God for you and for me. In the truest sense of what that means, because as soon as we hear prophetic word, everybody like starts to get excited because we're going to find out what the unknown is and the future is. But I want you to know the truth of the prophetic word is one who proclaims God's word. And therefore, what we are proclaiming today is God's word. Not Dave's word, not this church's word, not your word, not mine, not grandma's, God's. And the power of God is amazing. And when we declare His word, amazing things happen. Man, it's His authority and power that happens, right? So what happens is this, we're going to reflect over some things. I'm going to share some things in my life with you that you have probably heard a time or two. You will hear again, because it's God. 2 years ago this very day, I was over at TMC Hospital, and I was in the waiting room while my wife was undergoing her cancer surgery. As I sat in that room awaiting, having had multiple visits to doctors, look, I want you to hear me, like, I'm not going to drag this out, but when we went to her doctor, which my wife is not... I'm not any better. I'm worse. But she's not good at going to the doctor, right? She had some things going on and finally made an appointment, went to her doctor. When the doctor's like has fear written all over their face and says, you go here right now. You know, something serious is going on, right? So we go over to get an MRI. And you know how long it takes for doctors and stuff that goes on. They called the office, and they had an opening right then. We drove from her gynecologist to the other place that had an opening for an MRI in that moment. Went in that room, had that. The young lady that was in there was doing things, and I watched her face because I was in the room. And she was like, you know, I saw her countenance change out of the room, telling her to get dressed and get ready. When the doctor meets you at the exit, something's going on. I saw it all over his face. He came over to my wife and he grabbed her hand and he said, we've called. You need to go right now over to that place and get some blood work done. They have an opening. Talk about God, right? That day we had four doctor's appointments that moved everything right then, right there happening. But as we were doing that, you know, your brain's like, oh, this is not normal. Watching the concern on doctors' faces and all that was happening. Long process as we go. The blood work comes back and we get a call that you need to come in. You have, you know, your cancer count is like sky high through the roof. Your tumors are 27 centimeters in the midst of you. You have this giant tumor of cancer. You have ovarian cancer. All these things are being said. And as soon as you hear that word, you know, like, you know, you've had family and friends, and maybe you heard those words come out of their mouth, and like, you're like, okay, you've already heard some of this. Let's move forward. When you're looking at that, and the doctor says to you, like, here's what's going to happen, and this is what you're going to go through, and this is what you're going to need, and this is where we're going, and you hear all that stuff going on, and as a pastor, I've walked with so many people down that road. I've done their funerals. I've consoled their families. I've walked with them as they were going through chemo and watched life slipping out of them. I've watched all that. I've been there. I've walked with them. And as I looked at my wife, it was like, oh, that can't happen to her. You know, this, you know. Anyway, so we're moving along. The outlook for what we were given was not very good or favorable in any way. And so obviously God and I had many conversations alone. And I was always being encouraging to my wife in every way I could be. And in myself, I was wrecked. And as I went out to God, I told you this part, which is critically important in this moment about what God is saying to us today. In the horse pen, shoveling manure. I do that daily. Talking to God. And the moment of truth came to me where it was like, I wasn't asking God for healing or mercy or grace or any of that. I was just like, what is it you want, God? What is it that's going on? What do I need to do? What is it that you're asking? And it was, is she mine? You know, I've given my wife to the Lord, my kids, my grandkids, you all, myself. I've given all that to God multiple times. But in that moment, there was something different. And there was a thing that happened inside of me where I was like, the realization that God loved my wife, I always know he loves my wife. But the realization that he loved my wife and he maybe had a plan for her that didn't include me was a fresh revelation for me. Because we've always been one. And the fact that God had something for her that may not include me was like this eye-opening reality of, oh, you're right. This isn't about me. It's not about us. It's all about you. And in that moment, God revealed something to me where I was like, why would I ever want to keep her here with me if God had something planned for her? Because whatever God has planned for us is way better than anything I could ever. I mean, come on. I don't even give her flowers on Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying? Just a little hint. Tomorrow's a day. All right, anyway. I'm just kidding, everyone. Relax. All right, so I'm saying in that moment, like, God has something better. So it was like, do you give her to me? So all the stress and stuff that was inside of me of wrestling with the reality of what I know, what I knew, what I'd been through, what I could see for my wife, the reality that I have known pastors whose spouses died, and the fact like I wouldn't know what to do. I couldn't be. I told God, I wouldn't even know how to be a pastor without my wife. I wouldn't know how to be a dad, a father. I wouldn't know how to do anything. She's been with me. You know, we started dating when she was 15, I was 16. She's my one and only. And we got married young. So I'm like, God, you already know I can't function without her. So, you know, heal her now. No, you know. So here it is. Surrender. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I do want whatever you have for her. And it was in that surrender moment where the peace of God came. Completely came. It was there like, okay. And I mean, I had no idea what the results would be. It was just that I had peace. And that's in the surrender. So why are we talking about this? Well, it's important that we do this because 2 years ago today, the reality of that surrender was happening in a waiting room at TMC. And as I was sitting there, the doctor had already told us, surgery's 4 hours. I want you to know right now that in the 4 hours, what's going to happen is we're going to go in, we're going to take the tumors out, but we're also going to send them the pathology. They're going to do a reading immediately. They're going to come back to me and tell me what's happening here because we're taking lymph nodes, we're taking the layer of her stomach. They ended up doing more than that. The skin, I'm sorry, the whatever, it's a membrane inside of you. They took all that stuff out of her appendix. They had to unwrap her small colon from the tumor. They were, so many things were happening, you know. She's like, look, there's a lot happening. It's going to be 4 hours. If a word comes back from pathology that it's this advanced, it's going to take 6 hours. All right, so you don't want to hear those things because then there's a clock on the wall. And I'm there waiting in the waiting room. And 4 hours was going to be up at 2:30. So as I sat there in my chair staring at the clock and looking away and trying to distract myself, I could see that clock right there on the wall. And I knew that 2:30 wouldn't be the number. I knew that. I'm not stupid. I've been around hospitals a lot. I've been with surgery patients and all these things that happen. And so I was like, you know, I'm not going to panic at 2:30 and think we've gone to the worst scenario or anything. But when 2:35 came, I was like, it's okay, you know, probably, you know, 2:40, 2:45. Then they both came and went. At 2:45, something began to stir inside of me like, we're going there. It was there that, you know, I was like, you know, I did not doubt God, nor did I stop trusting him. I want you to hear me, but there was this reality settling inside of my life that the unknown, the thing I concerned me the most was coming to pass. It was happening. And as 2:50 was drawing near on the clock, I kept trying to tell myself, just give it till 3. You know, doesn't matter if they said 2:30, give it till 3, it can still come out, it's okay, relax. I'm trying to convince myself to be calm. My sister, my daughter-in-law, Cindy, and my son, Derek, our son and daughter-in-law, were there with me in the waiting room. Trudy was over knitting in the corner praying. There was other people waiting for other people. And at about 2:49 to 2:50, I began to tell them, you know, what the doctor had said to me, that if it goes past that 4-hour mark, this is what's taking place. And in sharing with them, I started to lose it. My flesh, you know what I mean? Like, I started to, like, you know, because I'm speaking this, this is a reality. This is actually happening right now. The truth of my surrender was staring me in the face. And my everything was reacting in the moment. I can still remember there that obviously I was showing signs of losing it because my daughter-in-law grabbed my hand like, keep it cool, Dad. You know, and all that. I mean, a good way, you know. I mean, it was. And I had to stand up because, you know, I'm a mover anyway. And so I stood up probably for the 100th time that day. And as I stood up, the doctor came through the door. And she said, hey, sorry, we're a little late. You know, I was like, you know, I didn't say it's no problem. You know, it's cool. I'm fine. No, I didn't. None of that was in my mind. I was like, you know, somebody could have texted me, called me. Somebody could have done something to let me know at 2:30 that we're going to be a little bit longer. But it's okay. But it's not. See, God was there saying, do you trust me? Trust me in the reality of the unknown. See, to that moment, everything was a shadow. It was, you know, unclear, unknown, no answer. The only information we had was darker than the shadow. And so in that thing that God came, and obviously my wife's right over here, and she's in remission today, and God is good, right? I mean, obviously, you know, he doesn't always do that. It doesn't always happen that way. I know. So as I talk to you about this, and I'm seeing this, here's the thing. As I look back today in the crises of my life, and it's not just that one, that's the most recent that you've been a part of. Well, it's not the most recent, it's the most real heavy one recently. But as I look back on my life at those crises that happen, I see that when you're in them, there's shadows, there's unknown, there's information, there's God. And in the midst of all of it, God is saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And what he's asking us to do is to believe what he says and who he is in the unknown. It's easy to trust him after you know. So easy. You know, while we're worshiping God right here today, I mean, the Spirit of God's right here, and it's like, ooh, God, you're real. You know, but that same presence or feeling may not be tangible when you're sitting in front of your doctor and they say you have cancer. It's not like you're like, woo, God's here. You don't, because you don't feel that. So as you hear God saying, do you trust me? Whatever you're facing right now, there's shadows around you, and there's truth, and there's words, and there's information, and all these things that are coming at you. And God, in the midst of that, is just stating, do you trust me? See, as God has us look back, as you heard, Eric's my nephew right here, in the worship here, he was saying that he was going through stuff, and as he went through stuff, just reflecting, wow, look where God has brought me. Look what he's done. Look at just the stuff that's here that I got to throw away now that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have those moments of reflection. God wants us to reflect over the past. He just doesn't want us to live there. Okay, so as we reflect, looking back, it's like, I see God in that. But I remember in the midst of that, it was so dark. It was so unknown. It was so uncomfortable. It was such a challenge for me to trust God. And I look back now and I'm like, whoa, what was I doing? I mean, it is obviously God, right? I mean, it is right there in my face. Now, as we look in the scriptures, God also does those very same things with his people. You're going to read things in the Bible that's already been written. If you read through scripture, you're going to like, hey, I read this before in that other book. Yep. You know why? Because God's like, you need to hear it again. You guys forget things way too much. You forget what I do. You forget who I am. You don't know who I am. Therefore, you need to hear this again. And so God does it. The whole book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. He already gave it once. You know what? He gave it to a generation of people that would not trust him, would not act in obedience, and therefore they were under the condemnation and judgment of God. And he sent them out into a wilderness to wander for 40 years until they died. That was God that did that. So the Deuteronomy book is given for all those kids that were 19 years and younger and those born in the wilderness. So check this out and stay with me, church. You see something here? While these that did not believe God, trust God, or do what God said were being punished for their sin, and they're wandering around waiting for them to die off, which is exactly what they were doing, this generation is watching, having not rejected God, not been disobedient. They were suffering in the wilderness with them, but learning to trust God and see that God is good to his word and that he demands that we obey him. And therefore, as they come to the edge of the promised land saying, take two. Here we go. We're about to enter. Y'all know this. You were out there. Look what God did. This is what God says. This is what God wants. Are you going to listen to him? Oh, yes. Everything we hear, we're going to do. second giving of the law, that whole book, God's like, I am who I am. You better listen. Okay, church. So as we consider that reality, watching parent and grandparent die off because of the disobedience, there's an awakening that God is looking for, and God is asking that we would establish a trust in him in today's shadows. Yeah, he's good to his word. God says what he says, and he is who he is. So God lets them know he's got a future for them, right? And as they travel through many generations, they become a nation. They're up and down, trusting God, not trusting God. God's judgment falls. Assyria is rising to the power in the world, and they come against the nation of Israel, because at this time, that promised country of people had already divided because they were divided in their heart with God. Israel's a separate nation from Judah. Jerusalem's the capital of Judah. Assyria comes and destroys Israel, takes them into captivity. Little tiny country of Judah is sitting there watching like, you're gone. We're not. God loves us. Hey, the prophets are coming. Don't be so secure in who you think you are. God is calling for obedience. And they're like, we're standing. We're good. Wake up. You need God. You need to wake up. Isaiah the prophet, one of the prophets during this time, is speaking to the people. God's judgment's coming. It's going to fall. You're going to be so messed up. He's not messing around. Everything's going to be destroyed. In the midst of this, you know, God's like, final judgment. I'm doing it. There's no more mercy. There's no more repentance. Judgment's coming. This is how awesome God is. In the midst of that condemning message that Isaiah was bringing to the people, and he wasn't the only one, as the prophets were speaking their condemning message against the nations, God all of a sudden changed the message. He didn't change the judgment. Listen, church, God didn't change the judgment. The judgment came. But before the judgment came, he changed the message, and he gave a message of hope. I am a good God. I do what I say, and I will redeem you. He's amazing. So why say all this? Well, let me read it to you here. In Isaiah 46, this is God speaking who he is to his people. It's so awesome. Hear it today. To whom will you compare me? And who is my equal? Isn't that awesome? God's standing in front of him like, come on. You know who I am. There is no other. And he's standing in front of them proclaiming to the prophet, I'm God. He goes on and says, some people pour out their silver and gold and hire a craftsman to make a god from it. Then they bow down and worship it. They carry it around on their own shoulders. And when they set it down, it stays there. It can't even move. When someone prays to it, there is no answer. Isn't God awesome? I love it. It can't rescue you from any trouble. Do not forget this. This is God speaking. Keep it in mind. Remember this, you guilty ones. Remember the things I have done in the past. For I alone am God. Amen. I am God, and there is none like me. Man, is that awesome, isn't it? So God's calling to his people in two perspectives. He's reminding them that they've run to everything else but him in the midst of their challenges, their trials, their problems. When things were not going right, they created their own ways to fix it. They found their own vices to help them through. He's like, y'all did this, you know, and nothing changed, nor could it, because anything else you run to besides me will never work. This is God. Amen. Now he says, now compare it to this. He says, remember who I am? All right, so maybe, here, I'm saying this to us right now. Maybe God hasn't done anything in your life yet because you're still in control. Listen to him. He says, look past you for a minute and look who I am. Look what I've done. There is none like me. I am the God of history. I'm the God of the Bible. I'm the God of the present, and I am the God of the future. He said, all you have to do is open up your eyes and look. And he says, look, just remember this. I am God alone. There's none like me. No one can answer. No one can fix you. Church, what is it we run to instead of God? People that say they trust God, believe God, they run to things to help them through their moment. Some turn to drugs and alcohol and food and sex. They turn to careers and business. They turn to material things. They turn to anything other than God, thinking something will meet their need, make it better, fix their problems. And then here it is. The truth of the matter is, if we turn to anything other than God, it is an idol and it is a God in our life. And God's like, hey, people, wake up. You can't fix it, neither can they. I am God alone. Therefore, do you look back and see who I've been? Do you see who I am? Do you trust me today? Yeah. See, church, remember, as we reflect on God, that in spite of us, in spite of some of our wrong choices and our wrong decisions, in spite of times that we didn't trust him, God has always been God. God has always been faithful. God has always been calling us, even in the shadows of our own making. God has been calling us to see the light of who he is. He's calling us and he's saying, I love you. Come to me. And his grace and his mercy is reaching out to us saying, I am God alone and there is no other. Church, we need to remember there's only one God who can meet our needs. There is only one God that hears and answers prayer, no other. There is only one God that we can count on. There is only one God. He is the God of the Bible. He's the God that gave his life for you and I. There is only one God. You can look at anything you want to in the world around you. None of it will ever answer your needs. None of it will fix your problems. Only God can do that. And in the midst of the darkest days of our life, he's still God. And in the moment of today, as you're looking around you and you see the shadows, the truth is still the truth. God is still God, and he is not moving from who he is. He's amazing. Praise God, man. And remembering how he's moved so many waves, I want y'all to know that I'm like, I'm humbled and I'm embarrassed at myself, at what God has done for me. Who he is in my life, the things that he has done. Church, I mean, the fact of the matter that I'm standing on this platform right now speaking to you about him, humbling and embarrassing that this guy would be allowed to do such a thing. I stand here in the presence of God and I'm so humbled and I'm embarrassed and I'm like, oh my goodness, God, how could I have ever at any moment even allowed a thought of doubt to come through my mind about any situation? What in the world? I know we're tempted to doubt. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not like self-abusing myself or anything. It's like, you know, there's no way. I don't doubt you, God. You are God, and you have proven yourself so true so many times. To see that all that he has done. Church, there's no doubt he loves me. I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm saying that it's incredible. Yeah. I know he loves me. Yeah. I know he loves me because I look back and I'm like, nobody else would have ever put up with me. And no way, man. He loves me because he continuously pursued me, called me, met me, turned the light on in the shadows. He invited me to just trust him. He's like, I'm here. I have not moved. I've also learned, looking back, at the perfection of God and the perfection of his timing. And what I know in that is that it's nowhere close to Dave's. And man, that sucks. I mean, it's like, I have like given him way ahead of time notice. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, man, here's what's happening here. This is what's gonna happen. This is what I need you to do. Man. It seems like he just ignores me. It's like, yeah. You know, and no matter how much notice you give him, it's just still never the right time. It's never that day. I don't say never. Maybe it is for you. I'd love to hear it if it is, because it's like, it's not for Dave. He's just like, I know. Yep. And so I look back and I see that. So I am, trust me, I'm way better today. That doesn't mean I'm good. All right. And trusting God and his timing, I do. I know it's good. I'm just hoping for that one moment. Oh, he heard me. It happened today. Anyway, listen, we're going to read him again. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So let's just pause there, you see, because if you're not looking at a shadow of unknown in your life right now, you will be, and it's coming pretty quick. Not to discourage you, it's just a reality, right? It's like, you know, it's there. It's waiting. So let's just hear this for a minute. God's like, you know, when that shadow starts creeping in, and it's like right there, and you feel like you can't see the light, he says, don't worry. Pray. Isn't that cool? So God's like, in the moment right there, when the worry starts to try and come in, he's like, pray instead. Just bring it to me. And you know what's cool about that? This is what he tells us right there. Just tell him what you need. Like, thank you, God. This is what I need. So, like, this is where we like to live, in that little statement. Tell God what you need. There is only a comma there, by the way, just so you understand that. So tell God what you need. So I'm like, I need this, I need this. This is the date, this is the time, this is the place. God, this is what I need. And I'm like, you know, God, so here we are. All right, then he tells us with the comma and thank him for all he has done. Right? So here's the thing. He's like, I know where you are. Bring it to me. He said, while you're there talking to me about what you need from me, stop for a minute, look back and look what I've already done. See, so when I look back, I'm reminded, oh, I didn't need to submit the schedule to you. I really didn't need to do that, did I? Because I should know by looking back and thanking him for all he has done, that God has done everything he said he would do in his perfect time and place. And so see what it does is it brings us to the moment of truth of who God is again in our moment. So isn't that cool how God does that? He's like right here talking to us. Pray about it all. Tell him what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Oh, there's the absence of the anxiety and the presence of God right there. Why? Because, hey, he's like, you can trust me. I'm God, remember? Look at all I've done. I'm still God. So then we trust him, and there's where the peace comes flooding in. And this peace, his peace, will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I love God's word. It's so amazing. It's so good. All right, so we're doing good. I'm looking at the clock, sorry. But I just want to warn you, next week we have one service, so I'm not having to meet you guys at a certain time. We're all going to be here at 10 o'clock. Yep. All right, so sorry, that was just a commercial. Let's stay with where we are. Remembering what God has done. Those of you that have been in the church for some time with us, and maybe if you're newer, just hear me. Back in 2019, I'm going to say like maybe halfway through 2019, the scriptures I just read to you in Philippians 4, 6 through 8, which I didn't read verse 8, which is to fix your mind and thoughts on all the amazing things, not on the garbage. But let's just go back here for a minute. Back then, God just began to lay this heavy on my heart. People were coming to me about situations in life, and God was like, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Hey, read this. Look at this. Look what God says. What about it? Like over and over and over again. And it was in messages that I preached. That's why I said, you're going to hear things you heard. Because, you see, as we were doing that, God was moving. We came to January of 2020. And as I was talking to God, he didn't give us some crazy revelation. He just said 2020 is going to be a year of change. You can look it up. You can find it in the sermons that we record online and all that stuff. It wasn't like, hey, Dave's got this amazing prophetic message. Because most preachers talk about some kind of change in 2020, but I was sharing with you, and I'm like, you know, God's telling us change. So, of course, all of us are like, oh, you know, I don't want to change. I don't like change. All that stuff, right? So as we hear that, we kind of like, well, we've heard that tune over and over again. No, but God was up to something. So, of course, it's January of 2020 when my wife was diagnosed with her ovarian cancer. So, of course, right now I'm applying that to my life and my wife, and I'm like, oh, you guys are just going on a journey with us because our life is about to change. Little did I know that the day after she would get out of the hospital, we were there for 5 days together after her surgery. On February 18th, we went home, and then all of a sudden the world began to close down because COVID-19 was starting to strike a panic around the globe. And as we watched all that unfolding, I was standing there like, oh, God, it really wasn't about me, was it? There's something changing in the world. You weren't just talking about some personal crisis you're going to deal with, but God says, change is coming. Get ready. Man, as I look at that, and I'm like, oh, God, you're so amazing. Don't pray about stuff. God knows. I mean, don't, like, panic about stuff. Pray about it. He's like, I got this. I know what's happening. And so as we've been navigating through all the changes that have come into our life and the different things, we look at God's past faithfulness and all that he is. And we bring all that through all this stuff and into the current situations of our lives. And when we bring God's faithfulness from the past into the current situation we face, that's where we begin to experience God's peace, no matter what it looks like, feels like, or even is. Because he's the God of life and he's the God of death. None of that changes who he is. It does not change his promises. He is God alone. And he tells me, and he tells us, I am God, and there is no other. We're not forgotten. He loves us. God wasn't confused when everything happened. He wasn't like wondering what to do with his church. You know, as I look back on COVID, I can honestly thank God for it. No, not the death. No, none of that. Listen to me. But I can also thank him for death. For real, I can. I look back now and I see how many things God did and is doing because of a forced change in our life. As I look at it, I look and I'm thinking, you know, how has that changed my relationship with God as I've gone through that? I am willing to believe that the majority of Christians are stronger in their faith today having going through that situation than not. See, for me personally, I did not bring COVID on the world, just so you know, but I'm going to say this, that God had been talking to me about doing online discipleship for years. And I knew it was a thing of the future because I've done my seminary work and working on my doctorate, all that stuff online. And it was like, you know, this is the future. Embrace it. Begin to do online discipleship. Create this stuff. Make it happen. And so, you know, Heather and I talked about it. I talked to my wife, Kim. Heather is our Justin's wife, and she's done some online schooling. And so we had these conversations multiple times. And I'm like, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it was on my list of things to do, and it always got moved down because I, like, have a lot of other stuff to do, you know, so it's not happening. So it's like all of a sudden it's like, you're going to do it now. Don't care what's going on. You're going to do this? So, you know, Zoom Bible studies come about. We have this format that we use in those studies that God gave us that works amazing. Watching community. A lot of people said, you can't build community online. I see a family of God happening online. I'm serious. It's like, it happens. There's relationships and all that happens online. It does. We were already live streaming services. Thank God we were already doing that. We've expanded it and increased it. And now you realize you have an online congregation as well. 3 weeks ago, I got a voicemail from somebody in Santa Rosa, California, watched our service and said at the end of your service, you said someone could call and ask for prayer and help in a situation. That's what I'm doing. I'm like, what in the world, God? You are amazing. How in the world did you even know we were here and that existed? You know, somebody shared it with somebody and this is how it goes, and God's amazing. Isn't he awesome? Seriously, it's like, wow, that is crazy. That goes beyond my reality. Not his. God's like, it's about time you started doing what I asked. We're going to do something here, buddy. You know? You know, we also learn that some of the things that we think are necessary and needed are luxuries. And we're spoiled. I'm spoiled. I like being spoiled. I don't like going without. I want everything. Comfortable and good. You know what I mean? I'm being honest. God knows that too. And so he's like, yeah, you're going to need to not have that right now because you're a little too comfortable. You're too accommodating to your own lifestyle and what you want in life. And it's like, oh, we really can get by without that. See, as we navigate through things, God's like, you know, it's me you need to trust. I've got you. Around us is an ever-changing culture and world. The only steady security that we have is in our God. Period. I mean, I'm not trying to give you a, you know, like a dark view of the future, but it's a dark view. Right? Come on, out there in the world, are you kidding? Everything that's going on out there is, you know, fear, fear, fear. Here's the message of the day, fear. You should be scared. Things are going to be bad. They're going to be worse. You should be afraid. God has already told us, don't fear death. Here I am. I'm God. I'll take you through that. See, in the absence of fear in the possibility of death, the assurance of our faith, when those we love die, that we know that God is good to his word. Man, we've experienced that. People very close to us, people I love died. Some of them directly related to COVID. I'm not making light of it. I'm saying, you know what? Is God God or what? He wasn't like, uh-oh, missed that one. No, he's God. He knows. It's okay. Look, I want to remind you of these things because it's important as we reflect on who God is. Church, when this thing was going on, and this is not a condemning word to anybody else, I want you to know this is from us and how we viewed it and what God was doing. The government offered, you know, financial assistance to every business, everyone, including the church. And immediately, like in my heart, I was like, I am not taking that. We're not doing that. We're trusting God. But that's not my decision. You guys have elected a board. I work with them. Contacted our board. I'm like, look, this is what's going on around us. We're being advised by leadership. We should do this. I don't feel that in my heart. I feel like, man, we can trust God. He'll take care of us. And it was unanimous that your board was like, no way, we're not taking that. God will provide. God always provides. Look, I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. I'm saying, like, we're not trusting in the government. We trust our God. And God has been faithful. And I want you to know our income has gone up since COVID started. Seriously. That's crazy. See, the world would be like, that ain't happening. I mean, people on the side are like, you should probably do this. You know, it's like, no, it's not happening. If we lose the building, so what? That doesn't change who God is. It doesn't mean we won't be a church. It's not meaning that God's like, uh-oh, that caught me off guard and you're screwed. Not at all. See, God knows what he's doing. Even in the midst of loss, death, decay, any of it, it's still God. He's there. He's good to his word. God is so good. So God's calling us to remember, recall the former things. Remember, I am God. There is none like me. I am God alone. Church, you know I can do this, but I could spend the rest of the day telling you just all the things God has done in mine and Kim's life together and how he has worked. I'm serious. I could just tell you story after story after story. Like looking back, I'm like, oh God, oh my goodness, man. And that's why I tell you, I'm embarrassed. I am. I'm not just saying that. I'm like, oh, Lord, I want to go hide in the shadows over there because you have been so, so good in so many ways. And always, God, when we surrender, trust, and obey. Prior to that, the shadows are pretty dark. But as soon as we surrender, trust, and obey, the light begins to shine in the darkness. Doesn't mean the situation's changed. Doesn't mean you get a different result. What it means is you know where you're at. You know who God is, and you know he has us. So God is calling us to remember that he what he's done in the crisis in biblical times, in history times, in our lifetimes, who he is. And he's calling us to remember those things so that today we will trust him, no matter what it looks like. So we're being threatened daily with messages of fear, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, I already know you are, unless you're just like not looking at anything out there in the world, because everybody's telling us there's going to be shortages. There are shortages. Inflation is coming. Inflation has come. Prices are rising. Interest is going to rise. Russia's on the border of Ukraine. We've removed our people from, you know, the embassy and all that stuff there because it's inevitable. Russia's going to invade Ukraine. A war's going to break out. And then what? Things are going to get worse because the probability of that war will expand. Right? So everybody's like, fear, and then, oh no, and then what's that going to do? And then what about this and what about that? And do you know the snowball that's going to start rolling? And so all the messages that are out there is, oh! Right? Okay, I'm not telling you bad things aren't going to happen. That's not what I'm even saying. What I am saying is this, there will never, ever be anything that we face that God did not know was coming. And anything going on in the world doesn't change who he is. He is God. And he is the God we trust. Beyond any government, beyond any war, beyond any stuff, he is the God we trust. And therefore, we come to surrender and trust and obey him in spite of anything. And that's what gives us hope and joy inside of us when the whole world is living in fear. Because they can't face anything, because they can't handle it, because they have no one to help them in the crisis of their life. Church, nothing has caught God off guard. Nothing. Jesus told his disciples of his coming death and resurrection three different times. Are you listening? Three times Jesus said, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to die. And the third day, I'm going to rise again. That's recorded in all the Gospels. But just to make sure that you understand, I'm saying it three different occasions, Jesus said this to his followers in Matthew 16, Matthew 17, Matthew 20. You can find that. You can find it in the others as well, but I'm just pointing that out. You ready? So on three separate occasions, when life is going on, Jesus is saying, there's going to be a day that is coming. That's going to be dark. You're going to watch me die. Third day I'm going to rise. Okay. So now, let's go to that moment here and see what happens. It happens. When they're arresting Jesus, in that moment, they all run away because they're scared, right? Jesus is there. They're watching it happen. He goes and he dies on the cross. The disciples all retreat to their places of hiding, and they're living in fear and wonderment, like, what happened? The shadow is so dark. The reality of his death is so real. This so unknown of the future, and everything they thought, believed, and had dreams of is now shattered, and they're sitting there in that dark place. And then what happens next? Church, what happens on the third day is the women that were with him go to the tomb to prepare his body for long-term burial. It's over. The disciples don't even go. But three times Jesus said, on the third day I'll rise. See, what happened is, in this dark moment of their life, they could not recall or know or believe what Jesus had said to them. Yes, I know the Holy Spirit had not revealed all truth to them. Yep, I get it. But listen, the words were spoken. And in the moment of truth, they were absent, and the ladies were looking to a dark future. Oh, but God. So, here's my one and only action step. Are you ready? How many times have we remained in our fear of the moment or gone to the tomb instead of seeing the promises of God? That's like, what has God spoken? What is truth? Where are we? Many of us are allowing that situation that we are facing of the shadow, the unknown, the darkness that is present in this moment of our life to keep us trapped in fear or looking to a dark, unknown future when God is a God of resurrection and life. He has not changed his plan at all. And as a matter of fact, if you're following him, you're not going to want to hear this. You're right where you need to be right now. Yeah, isn't that awesome? You are right where you need to be, unless you're not following Jesus, and then you need to get your butt to the altar and change. Right? For real. But if you're following Jesus, you're right where you need to be right now. Accept it. Begin to look to God and trust him. Surrender to the moment. Trust him. Begin to pray about it. Look back. See what he's done. Know that he's doing something. God is doing something. For he is a God of life and resurrection. Trust him. Stand with me. Amen? He's awesome. He is so good. God is so good. God's up to something right now. I absolutely know that God is moving. He's moving in this place. He's moving in my life. He's moving in us, man. It's exciting. Don't walk out of here without trusting him. Surrender to the moment. Trust him in that moment. Be obedient to whatever's going on, for he's a good God. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are God alone and there is no other. God, you are it. We love you. We trust you fully. In the unknown, in the shadow, there is light, for you are a good God, and we trust you. God, be with us today as we surrender to what you are saying to us. Church, I want you to know, if you need to come to the altar, it's always open. You don't have to, but it's open. And God is asking us to trust him. Let's do it. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. You're so good. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.